Good morning, my beloved. I am taking a break from Acts today to talk to you about fatherhood. I was thinking back over the course of my ministry how I approached Father's Day in the past, and usually I would pick a biblical father and build my sermon around that father, be it a good example or a bad example. And I began thinking about who have I not used a father in the Bible who is a positive example. And I sat and just thought about it, and Jairus came to mind. This father whose little girl died, and Jesus raised her from the dead. And we read that so quickly, and we talk, and we think, and we preach, and we teach about the power of Jesus in raising the dead. And this is an example of what the general resurrection will be like someday when all come out of the graves. But sometimes we read it too quickly and we miss the lesson that the Father offers us. So I want today, in just a few minutes, I want to talk about fatherhood before I get to the text. I want us to begin thinking, and you be thinking about this now. I want us to look at this daddy, Jairus, from the perspective of his daughter. Okay, you with me? I want this little 12-year-old girl. What kind of daddy did that 12-year-old girl have? And what did she think of her daddy? I've never thought of it that way. I want you to begin thinking about that. But before I get to the text, I want to talk generally about what it means to be a father and fatherhood. How many of you watch The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon? Any of you watch it? You don't have to be afraid of admitting it in church, you know, if you do. I don't actually watch it live because I can't stay up that late. But I do follow him on Twitter. And I love what he does at times. He will send out or post something, hashtag something, and then ask you to send in your answers. Well, not long ago, he posted hashtag dad quotes. Write funny, weird, or embarrassing things that your dad has said or done. And I am quoting directly from what people sent back to him. Jeremy tweeted, "We were watching old home videos, at least 20 years old. Dad sat down to watch. He was wearing the same shirt as in the video." These are all supposed to be true. Allison tweeted, "During Thanksgiving dinner, my dad looked up from his plate with gravy on his lips and said, 'Gravy, man's lip gloss.'" Steve said a barber once asked his dad, "How would you like your haircut, sir?" "In silence," he quipped. Maggie's dad said, "You know what I need? A selfie stick. So whenever I see someone taking a selfie, I can hit them with the stick." Two more. Kate tweeted, "When my dad drove anyone around, he would say, 'Buckle up, I saw something in a cartoon I want to try.' He always scared my friends." And then this one, you older people won't understand, but the younger ones will. "I asked my dad if I could go to a 50 Cent concert. He said, 'Here's a dollar, take your sister.'" Oh, I love it. Shortly after I became your pastor, 15 years ago next Sunday, it's hard to believe, I preached a series on the Ten Commandments. And there was one, the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother so that they may... So that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It's the first commandment with a promise. We had the Ten Commandments, but this is the first. If you obey this, I will bless you with long life. I spent a lot of time on that sermon, and I went back and tried to find it. And in it, I was talking about my own biological father, Mark Canada Hips, whom I never knew. My mother was 14 when she became pregnant with my brother Ron. My father, Mark Canada Hips, was in the Marines. He was 22 years old. Today he would be in prison, if you think about it. Mama gave birth to Ron when she was 15, and my father was 22, going on 23. He stayed around, and I was conceived when she was 19. Now, when Ron was about 6 and I was just a baby, he left. Never heard from him. He disappeared. He never wrote. He never called. I have always wondered, did he ever wonder if we were in need, in which we were in those early years, if it had not been for my grandmother? And, you know, for a preacher to stand and preach the Word of God and come to that commandment, honor your father and mother, and if you do, your days will be long upon the earth. I have tried to, even as a father, I think, wrestle with what that truly means. And you know what I called that sermon way back then? Aren't nine enough? Aren't nine enough? And it's not that I was angry or I hate my biological father. How do you feel anything for someone you've never known? I know that I missed his presence in my life. My mother remarried my stepfather, who, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you, Miriam Fitzpatrick used to tell me, "Richard, you're too transparent sometimes." But I want you to know my story, because I guarantee you that you're just as dysfunctional in your family in some ways as am I. And that's why I'm honest with you. That's why I'm honest with you about these things. My stepfather, probably the most evil person in my story, but I've told you his story before. One time I was in a meeting and a pastor was talking about he said, "My name is Theodore, you know what that means." And I'm thinking in myself, "Yeah, I know what that means, devil." And he said, "It means gift of God, Theodore, gift of God." And right then the Holy Spirit convicted me and said, "What your stepfather meant evil unto you, I meant it good, and you are the man you are today because you overcame. You overcame. And you struggled. And you are sensitive to those who go through similar things. I taught you a language you didn't want to learn, but it has been helpful to you." And you know, I look at my stepfather and my father totally differently today. I hope that when I leave this earth and walk into heaven, Mark Canada Hips and Theodore Roosevelt Hill will be there to meet me. And we'll talk about how our stories all were part of that big story. I think in talking about fatherhood, there are three questions, and I'll do this quickly because I think they're important for some of you. And I want to really think about that commandment, honor your father today, and your mother, but I'm honing in on fathers, but it could be parents. To help those of you who had different situations to understand the Word of God and help you and apply it to your life. Those three questions are who, how, and why. And I'll go through these quickly. First, who are our parents, our father, our mother? And before we can discuss how to honor them, we've got to figure out who they are. For most of us, mom and dad are the very people to whom we were born. They're our biological parents. For others, mom and dad are someone else. Let me ask you this question in regards to the fifth commandment. Are adopted children obligated to honor their birth parents in the same way they honor the parents who raised them? That's something we need to struggle with in context with this verse. What about step-parents? Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my darling mother." He was talking about his stepmother. His mother died when he was young. His stepmother was the greatest influence on his life. And he said that all that he is or ever hopes to be was due to his stepmother. So surely the verse is addressing this as well. As I understand things, parents can be defined in three ways: biological parents, legal parents, and nurturing parents. Some even owe their nurturing to a community. like our Baptist children's home. I remember I was in a meeting at the North Carolina State Baptist Convention years ago, and the children's home there, one of their seniors, came up to give his testimony. He had been raised from the time he was little in the home. He had been, if I remember correctly, he was admitted into the Naval Academy. If not, it was West Point. Raised by a community of Baptists with parents in homes. It was a communal parenting that shaped his life. So who does he honor? Who is his father? Who is his mother? So what I'm saying is that the words father and mother are as much verbs as they are nouns. Let me show you biblically. You know what? I didn't give scriptures today because I just got this feeling you're getting lazy and you're looking at the screens. You know, how many of you don't have your Bibles because, oh, they're going to put it on the screens? I caught you, didn't I? I caught you. Those of you who do have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 12. I want you to see how we can broaden our concept of mother and father, because Jesus did. Matthew chapter 12, and we'll begin reading with verse 46. I hear those pages. While Jesus was still talking to the crowd, this is Matthew 12, beginning with verse 46. His mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to them, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister." There's another text in Mark. I won't have you turn there, but it's in Mark 10 where Peter says to Jesus, feeling sorry for himself, "We've left everything for you. We've left home, we've left family." And Jesus said, no one leaves mother and father empty-handed, because in your life and ministry you will have many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters. If you forsake family for the kingdom... And this is why I tell parents who don't want their children to go to missions, watch out. You bless your children who are called to missions. They're safer in the middle of Africa than they are out of God's will. You bless your children. Don't hold back. I have known parents who have impeded the call of God on their children's life. Your true mother and father are those who nurtured you, who loved you, who launched you into adulthood. And most often those are our biological parents. But whomever he, she, or they may be, the ones who prepared you for life deserve your honor first. And when I think of parent, I think of Lula Plemons Ward, my maternal grandmother, the greatest influence on my life. She was the Western North Carolina Mother Teresa. I'll just tell you that. Most godly person, tough. She was as tough as any father that God would ever have given me. She shaped me. She honed me. She poured her life into me. And the Lord knew that I needed a strong parent like her. And I did that for Mama as well. Remember, Mama was a child too, almost. So Granny raised us all. Mama died at 40, and I was 20 at that time. And Granny was super parent. So when I honor parent, the very first one I think of is my granny. The word honor in Scripture comes from the Hebrew kavod, which means heavy. And what Scripture is saying to us is our responsibility to our parents is not a burden, but it is a heavy, heavy privilege for us to honor our mother and father. And I think it's interesting, and you think about this, the commandment does not say, love your mother and father, does it? It says, honor them. And there's no escape from that, is there? There's no out for that. We're to honor our mother and father, whomever they are. Principally those who nurtured us, as I do my grandmother. But I'll say this to you about my biological father. How can I best honor him? Well, by trying to be the father he wasn't. I don't know all of his reasons. I have no idea of knowing his reasons for not wanting a relationship with me. I'll tell you this, and I know this sounds very Trumpy, but it's his loss. It's his loss. And I don't know why, but for some reason, God wrote him out of my story. And you know, the Holy Spirit has revealed to me, I would not be the man I am today had he remained. And the Lord worked in that. And I honor him, and I honor him in such a way. Listen, there is one thing most definitely I honor him for. Conceiving me. God used him to get me here. I wouldn't be here without Mark Canada Hips. So I honor him that I came from that as well. Psalm 68:5, I love. It says, a father, God says, I'll be a father to the fatherless. And he has in my life. I tell you, I have had many, many fathers in my life and father figures. There are some even in this congregation that you have received a card from me on Father's Day, because I usually pick out someone that God has used to mentor me, to model to me the kind of man I want to be. And you've received those. And I am grateful for that. I am grateful for the way this community has been a father to me in many ways. All these years we've been here, you've been like a parent to me, not just a congregation of friends and church members, but God blessed me in that way. So we have talked about who, how, and let me say something about why. Why should we honor our parents? If we do not honor our parents, we are given little basis for honoring anything or anybody, and that includes teachers, police officers, spiritual leaders, employers, and the government. I found an article this week, and you might want to write this on your bulletin, because this is an article I think you would really be in. Just Google it. It'll come right up. It's called, In the Absence of Fathers, A Story of Elephants and Men. And it is intriguing. In the Kruger National Park in South Africa, there was a growing elephant problem. Overpopulation. They had to thin the herd. And it's interesting, to get these massive creatures, they would build a harness, bring a helicopter in, and fly those elephants to another park. Well, there was no problem for these helicopters to lift the elephants, but the bull, the big bull, the older elephants were just too much for the harness. It wasn't a helicopter, it was a harness. So they transported all the young males and the females to this other park, or a big part of them. And then they had something terrible happen in these parks. The rangers kept finding a dead rhinoceros here, a dead rhinoceros there. Not from poachers. It was no gun wound. Their horn was still there. It was not poachers. These young male lions had gotten so disruptive and disobedient that just for the fun of it, they were killing these rhinoceros. They were goring them to death and just leaving them to die. And they did a study of that, and they didn't know exactly what was going on. And then someone who's smart, said, we have taken their discipline away. And they went back, they redid harnessing, and they brought the bull elephants and put them in the herd. And folks, I'm going to tell you, those bull elephants cleaned up. And what happened was, is extremely interesting. These bull elephants not only disciplined the younger males, but modeled to them what a good elephant life should be like when it comes to male elephants. And they got in line. And then in this article, this Catholic writer, as a matter of fact, he went on to say that the reason why our prisons are full today is because of fatherless homes. Young males who have no discipline, who have no guidance. I went back just to get some statistics. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 63%. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes, 90%. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from fatherless homes. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes, 9 times the average. Listen to this. Children with fathers who are involved are 40% less likely to repeat a grade in school. Children with fathers who are involved are 70% less likely to drop out of school. Children with fathers who are involved are more likely to get A's in school. And children with fathers who are involved are more likely to enjoy school and engage in extracurricular activities. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from fatherless homes. Do you think we need our daddies in our homes? Don't you see, fathers today, how important our presence is in the home and our role in this society that demasculates men? We've got to confront that because men are different. In the eyes of God, men and women are equal, but I want to tell you, they're equal, but they're different. They have different roles. And it's time that we openly admit that and teach it, because teaching the opposite, look at our society. Look at our society now by teaching the opposite. We need to get back to God's Word. Now, my text is short. I'm going to say 2 things. Jairus. He's the kind of daddy I'd want. Yes, he is. If I could pick any daddy in the Bible, he'd be right up there at the top. Let me tell you about him. The other Gospels tell us a little more about him. He was the synagogue is not the temple. The synagogue was where they studied the Word of God, and they would have leaders or something like a president who guided that faith community. Well, Jairus was that near Capernaum. And you remember, it was near Capernaum where Jesus was challenged by the religious leaders. He's a religious leader. Some of his colleagues challenging Jesus. When he healed a man, he told the man, "Your sins are forgiven." Boy, that made them mad. They turned and said, "Well, who are you? Only God can forgive sin." And then it's the same group of religious leaders who challenged him for eating with sinners. "You're a glutton. You're a wine bibber." This is the group. Now, from that group, he is teaching. He's walking along, and one of these leaders, his little girl, is sick, going to die. I tell you what, when reality hits, a lot of our beliefs just go out the window, don't they? Especially the superficial ones. And this man's priority was that 12-year-old girl. She came first. And he had heard, perhaps witnessed, this itinerant from Galilee. And he'd do anything. Listen, when your children are your priority, you'd do anything for them. You'll die for them. And here he is coming through the crowd. And listen, the religious leaders were there watching. One of their own falls on his face. How embarrassing. Can you imagine synagogue next Saturday? Crying and says, "Please, please heal my child." Jesus says, "Have faith. Trust me." And he gets up to go with this man, Jairus, and then there's that interruption. We didn't read that part. We skipped where the woman with the issue of blood comes up and touches Jesus. Jesus turns. He delays. He spends time with this woman, and in the process of that delay, the little girl dies. And, of course, this man is heartbroken. His little girl's dead. And Jesus turns to him and says, "Only believe. Trust me." You know, even death bows to Jesus. You have noticed that, haven't you? Every knee shall bow, even death. Trust me. So he invites him to come to his home. The first thing I wanted you to see in him is his children were priority. Priority. Ain't nothing going to embarrass me too badly for me to come for my child. Second thing is, listen, daddies, he invited Jesus to come home with him. That's what some of us daddies need to do. Invite Jesus to come home with us. I mean, within us, with the way we live, the way we talk, the way we, we act. Bring Jesus home with it. And he did. And we know Jesus, for whatever reason, sent them all away except for that three that came in with him. And he speaks to that child. And that little one gets up. And Jesus, isn't this interesting? Scripture records this. Jesus said, give her something to eat. Death is exhausting. Give her something to eat. I was thinking about Jairus as a father, but I also remembered this is the text that Dr. John Hewitt used to preach our little Alexandra's funeral. The same text. And you know, as a father, there's no question that I believe that God could have touched Alex, healed her, raised her up, and she would be with us today. There's no question. I know that. But there is something I want to read to you as I'm closing. G. Campbell Morgan was the former minister of Westminster Chapel in England, in London. He wrote a book called The Great Physician. And I want you to hear what he says. I think this is interesting. It ministered to me. He says, I can hardly speak about this passage without becoming personal. I remember a time about 40 years ago when my own first lassie lay at the point of death. I called for Jesus and he came. He surely said to our troubled hearts, fear not, believe only. He did not say, she shall be made whole. She was not made whole on the earthly plane. She passed away to the life beyond. He did say to her, my child, get up. But in her case, he did not mean stay on the earth level. He meant that he wanted her, and he took her to himself. And she has been with him all these years as we measure time. And I have missed her every day. His word, just believe, has been the strength of all these passing years. Just believe. I do. I have no question. You know, when people ask me how many children I have, I always say three. Of course I do. I have two living here and one living there. I have three children. And I do know that as we leave to go, and I truly believe, I've always believed this. I take literally what Jesus said. I go to prepare. If I go, I'll come again and receive you unto myself where I am. The very first eyes I look into and you look into from my perspective will be the eyes of Jesus. And then our eyes will peruse all those around him. And that little one will be there. I know that. And others. And hopefully Mark Canada Hips and Theodore Roosevelt Hill. But we're different people then. And we're part of a much bigger story then. I've wondered how long Jairus' daughter lived after this. You know, she did have to die again. And she did. But hopefully she lived to a good older age and was able to tell her children about her father, their granddaddy, about how much he loved her and what a priority. He risked his life, his profession, his reputation, his future. On me, children. He gave it all away for me. My daddy loved me. Your grandfather loved you and loves you. And then also, can you believe it, children? He brought Jesus home. Brought him to our house. That's what I want to do. Absolutely. Make my children a priority and bring children. Bring my children, bring the Lord to my children and my grandchildren through my life and ministry into my home. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we lift all of the fathers up today and grandfathers. And Lord, we pray for your favor on our lives. Help us to realize we're living not just for ourselves, but for the future generations. And I pray that all of us, we men, we'll dedicate ourselves to being faithful in planting seeds into our children and grandchildren's lives. And although we may not live to see it from the earthly plane, I'm sure you will allow us to see it from a different perspective. Bless these daddies. Bless these grandfathers. And help us to be everything we need to be for the benefit not only of our own family, but for the church and for our nation. And we pray it in the one who gives us the strength to do what he calls us to do, our Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to give this invitation to daddies and granddaddies. This is our day. I don't know how many of you. You know, somebody asked me one time, Richard, you give invitation. A lot of people don't give invitations any longer. We do here at Trinity. It's not an invitation just for me to come and talk to me or have me pray with you. But we have an altar here for the purpose of some people just want to come and pray. You're welcome during the invitation just to come and say a prayer and then go back to your seat. Daddies, I'm asking you, if you don't do that today and you don't come forward, but do it where you are, open your heart up and say, Lord, show me how I can be everything you're calling me to be. Give me the wisdom to know what's good and what's bad, what I need to leave behind and what I need to grasp. Let's do that, daddies. And mamas, I give you this challenge. Help your husbands be the father. I mean, you help your husband be the father that God has called him to be. And children, love your fathers. Honor your fathers. Love on them. How many of you children, if your parent is living, how many of you plan to do something nice for your daddy today? All right. I hope you do. My daughter's already made me a pound cake. That's why this sermon's a little shorter today. A good old pound cake that I haven't had in, I don't know how long, because I don't eat pound cake. But honey, I'm going to eat one today because she made it. Daddies, let's think about that. Children, mamas, let's dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Make our families healthy. In Jesus' name, let's stand and sing our hymn of commitment.